Welcome to the Greater Church Podcast. We are praying that wherever you find yourself on the journey, that this message will be an encouragement and blessing to you. And now, here's today's message.
Hey, I'm reading from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age.'" Amen. Hey, over the next few minutes, the message that I want to share with you, I believe is practical in nature, right? But I also believe that there's some heart stuff in here, that we're going to do some work. There's going to be some surgery that's going to happen. But I'm asking you today, pull out a notebook. Get your phone, smartphone, your dumb phone, get your notes out. You're going to want to write some of these things down, because I'm hoping that you can see today, as I try to illustrate as much as I can, what's on the other side of the cross. That's the title to today's message, The Other Side of the Cross. The Other Side of the Cross. Come on, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Father, for today. We thank you for all that you've done, Lord God, in our last service. And so, Father, we're really excited about what you will do here. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us, Lord God, that we can see the access that we have in you, Lord. We can see, Lord God, what you've called us to and what you've placed inside of us. Ultimately, Lord God, there is a purpose, there is a plan for us, Lord God. And help us today, Lord, to be able to see that in such a beautiful way. Father, every distraction of the enemy, Lord God, every plan, Lord God, or attack, Lord, to keep our minds off of this, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would destroy it. And I pray, Father, that you would find yourself here, that our hearts would be open, Lord. Fallow ground, Lord God. Seeds, Lord God, that find fruit, that don't get choked, scorched, Lord God, or don't have root. But today, Lord, that these seeds will bring about some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. There are prayers, Lord God, that will be answered today, Lord God, of individuals that will see you clearly, Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, Lord God. Amen and amen. Come on, one more time. Would y'all put your hands together for Jesus in his place? Amazing. Hey, so last week, Pastor Alex did an incredible job of talking about, come on, we can make some noise for him, about talking about how God takes broken pieces of our life, and not only does he put it together, but he actually uses it in such a beautiful way. And on Easter Sunday, I illustrated, or I painted this picture found in the end of the Gospels, where Jesus has died, he's gone down, and then he's resurrected. And these two women, they go up to the grave, and where Jesus was expecting to find them formless and shapeless and, I mean, just dead and powerless. And the angel tells them, he's not here, he's risen. And then if you remember from the Easter story, the thought was, remember his words, that he had to be turned into sinful men. He had to be crucified, and on the third day, he would be resurrected. That in our own personal life, that we can see this story, the gospel, so clearly pictured in our life. That I was the sinful man that Jesus had to be turned into, that had to be given. Because I tried so hard to get to God, and it was only until I hit rock bottom that I found out that while I was trying to chase after God, the whole time he was right there running after me. Not only that, but that the crucifixion was a moment that I could not have done. I could not live the life that Jesus did. I could not die his death, but I also couldn't earn the promise of Scripture, which is salvation. That through his crucifixion, there's a third day attached to my story. And there were third days attached to every story in our building on that Easter Sunday and even today. But you know what the beauty of it is? That 22 people gave their life to Jesus on that Sunday. And their third day happened then. The thought is this, right? So Easter is fun. We celebrate and we wear our best clothes. But is Easter just a celebration? Where individuals come to church and because people annoyed you for so long that you're like, yo, I'm going to go to church. All right, let's go. The Easter bunny, the eggs. Like, what happens after Easter? Today, that's what I want to unpack, because there's the other side of the cross. The other side of the cross is one filled with a lot of things that I'm going to kind of unpack here. Man, my whole life, I've always been in some type of leadership. And I don't even know why or how, but God just placed that inside of me. When I got saved, and I'm first generation Christian, when I got saved, I had this thought that I was going to become a Christian rapper. When you're young and you give your life to Jesus, everybody becomes a Christian rapper. I mean, it's the only thing. Whether you can rap or you suck, you're just going to try it. You know what I'm saying? And so I tried, I gave it a shot, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't no J. Cole or, you know, or Kendrick or Drake or anybody involved in that beef. And so I wasn't, you know, amazing, but, you know, I made my tens of dollars. You know what I'm saying? And our time was a little bit different because, see, we did arenas and we got to that stage, but most of my events were in youth ministry. And it was with like six kids in the audience, and all six of them were bad as heck. They didn't pay attention to me. They're laughing, joking, making out under the stairwell. You know what I'm saying? It was always that. You see the youth leader come and sit down. Now, listen, you got to listen, please. And so I remember that I would go and I would do about 6 to 7 concerts a weekend, believe it or not. And so we'd start at the beginning of a youth ministry at 7 o'clock, and we were the opener pre-show. And then I would run from there and, you know, drive in my limousine and Lydia's Honda Accord. And I would drive over to another church. And then right before the offering, I was, you know, they allowed for me to do it. And then they slipped me the smooth Olive Garden gift card. You know what I'm saying? Here you go, brother. God bless you. And then I'd run to another youth group, and I was at the end of the service right after the altar call. And then we'd run from there to another concert, which was the after party. You know what I mean? After you went to IHOP. Y'all say folks don't know about that. We need better youth ministry in this world, day and age. And so we had fun. I was tired. And then on Saturdays, we would get up in the morning and we'd go do what we call outreaches. So we'd go to the projects or apartment buildings, and we would go and we would preach the gospel. And so we would have a stage, we'd have some hot dogs and some popcorns and some face painting, and it'll be us in the middle of a courtyard with the projects around us, and we just yelling at the microphone, hoping that somebody will come down. And every now and then some people would come, and we'd run from that to a festival. And then, I mean, ask my wife, she's here in the front row, she'll tell you, man, it was hectic. What was crazy was that on this particular day, I was out of my mind tired. You could only imagine, you know what I mean? You know when you get so tired, you're delirious, you don't even know what you're saying sometimes? Like, good morning, you're like, you know what? That solar eclipse messed with me. You know what I'm saying? On this day, I remember that my friend was like, we used to drink Monsters. Yeah, Monsters are still there, still a thing. But there was another type that had just been introduced that my friend was like, yo, try this one. It's strong, you could only do half of it. It's one called Red Line. I don't know if y'all remember Red Line, right? Somebody told me in the first service that that's truck driver's cocaine. And so, what that means. And so, I remember I got the little Red Line, and my friend told me, hey, listen, you could only drink half of it because it's super potent. I don't even know if it's around anymore. And so I was like, oh, bro, he was okay. He was a smaller dude. I felt a little bit healthier. You know what I'm saying, Mario? I was like, yeah, half of that, bro. That ain't gonna do nothing to me. I know my tolerance. And so I decided, I said, you know what? I'm gonna pop the whole thing. Took the whole thing down that bad boy before 5-hour energy drinks were a thing. And I'm sitting there, and we're in the lobby, right? Like in a church, and they're in there. Music is going, you know, music is just going on. And all of a sudden, the music that was inside of the church, I found it inside of my body. It was like, boom, 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 boom. It was like, and then my heart started moving together with it. And then I'm like, I started going left and right, and I'm like, oh man, what is happening right now? And as people were talking to me, it was like, Gino, you know. And I'm like, bro, I just did drugs in church, bro. What is happening right now? And then I'm trying to talk to people, and I'm short breath because, yeah, bro, and God is good, and He's amazing. And bro, I promise you, preachers like to exaggerate. I promise you, I'm not exaggerating. Dude, I went to my car, and in my car, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh my God, Father, I promise, if you take this away, I'll never do this again. You giggle because you said that before. If you take the Lord, I promise, never again, Lord. I won't drink again. I promise, Lord God. No more Red Line. No more energy drinks, Lord. Somebody came to my car and knocked on the car. Chino, you okay? I was like, I don't know. I don't know. Needless to say, that was the most energetic concert that I ever had in my life. In my life. You know, as I was looking at this Easter season, and obviously it's behind us, but as a church, man, I don't want to relegate a celebration to a holiday. But I want us to live in the promise on the other side of the cross. Because just like there was a lot of energy on the other side of me drinking that Red Line, there's a lot of energy on the other side of the cross. We tend to expect that it's just the Easter story that we watched of the death on him on the cross, and then the stone gets rolled away and the light comes up behind the guy, and Jesus comes out, and then he ascends into heaven. And we tend to put that and we scale it away until Christmas, where he becomes a baby, and then we celebrate him again. The story has continued. Countless lives of people have been changed because of this story. Incredible access to a God that for a long time seemed like he was so far away now has been brought wide open where people have come to know him. They've walked in authority. We've seen God do some incredible things. He's no longer dead. He's no longer on the other side, on one side of the cross. You know, he's on the other side of the cross. And what does that mean to us? Well, what that means to us is that, number one, we have access. And if you want to write this down, I want you to write this down. We have access on the other side of the cross. What does that mean? For you to come to God, originally, there had to be an individual or there had to be religious acts that were done for you to be able to come to God. And by individuals, I mean like there was pastors at this time, Levites, priests, Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes. There were all these different type of people that were literally arguing with each other and fighting with each other because everybody knew how to get to God and you had to do it their way. And so these religious individuals had created a system that for you to get to God, it had to be through what they said. And I think about it sometimes, and I'm like, man, in 2024, that sounds, and listen to me, let me say this because I said this at the end of this spiel, but I want to say it at the beginning. I love the idea of denominations. Here's why. Because we are a non-denominational church, but I love that you can't just get up on a microphone and run your mouth and preach that the end time is coming with seven scorpions. And if you don't give me $7.799, then you're not going to receive a blessing. I need some people around me that will say, Chino, you're an idiot, bro. Don't ever say that again from a microphone. I need people around me that are going to build me, but brothers in my life that I can actually do ministry with. Because the truth of the matter is that what I'm doing on this stage, on this altar, there's a lot of people that are doing it. And when somebody goes and becomes a lone ranger, you know that person, they'll start to create ways for you to access God according to what they think. Let me ask y'all questions. How many of y'all, just quick little survey, here's where I'm asking you a question and you raise your hand if it's you, you know what I mean? Don't look at me, this isn't like, oh, part of the gimmick or the program or performance. Real quick, how many of you guys come from a Catholic background? Raise your hand, Catholic background. Okay, turn up. If you're Hispanic, you're Catholic at some point. How many of y'all came from a Presbyterian, maybe Presbyterian background, Presbyterian, Methodist? Come on, any Methodists in the building? Turn up, kind of. They were like, I don't know. Awesome, cool. How many Baptists? Anybody came from a Baptist? Yeah, first time in a long time you raised a hand in church. Amen. Awesome, cool. How many of y'all Pentecostals raised two hands, run around the room? You know what I mean? Glory! Here's the truth. Hey, I'm going to say this, and I want you to pay very close attention. You don't get access to God because of me. I don't give you access to God as a pastor. The access to God came because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. My job and my responsibility is to be able to illustrate and present to you the cross and the gospel. My job is to take the broken areas of your life where you were in really bad shape and be able to help you, walk with you through life where you can actually stand on your own feet and begin to feed yourself and grow as a disciple of Jesus. My responsibility is to be able to mine out the gifts and the talents that God has placed inside of you, be able to challenge you, be able to push you into spaces where you start to do what God asked you to do. But my job and my responsibility, I cannot be God for you. I can't give you access to Jesus. That came because of the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. That came because of his sacrifice, because of his love for you. And so I don't provide access for you. I'm just a person just like you who is trying to walk closer to Jesus, the very same that you do. Now, all of these things are great. But please understand that you have access to God because of the cross. In fact, I want to show you in scripture, because in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 16, it says, let us come therefore boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. You don't go to God through me. I just point you to him. But you also don't have to do a bunch of religious acts, because not only was it religious people, but it was also religious acts. For you to get to God, there were certain sacrifices that had to be done. There were certain payments that had to be made. There were things that you would have to do to be able to get access to God in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. In fact, in 2024, there's still religious acts that we're doing now. I'm going to say some stuff because I want you to see things clearly. But you know that you don't have to read your Bible to get access to God. You know that you don't got to go to church to get access to God. You know that you don't have to pray and fast to get access to God. Do you understand that you have access to God because of the cross of Jesus Christ? That when you start to do those things and you're like, okay, well, let me read my Bible first. And once I read my Bible, now I can talk to God. Like if you open the door was open through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The door was open because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You can come to God. Listen to me. You should do all of those things. You should pray. You should sing. You should go to church. You should worship God. Please understand me. All of these things are great. You need to do these things. And I promise you, your life will be better. You will get closer to God. You will see him in different ways. But the access to God, that came through Jesus. You, before you ever read, because what happens is that you'll start buttering God up to try to get something out of him. Yeah. Right? I mean, I remember when we were kids and we cleaned the house. We cleaned all the living, the furniture. We cleaned the bathroom. We did everything because the thought was, I need to get $20 from my mama because I want to go to the movies. Y'all remember when $20 meant something? $20 is half a box of popcorn now. You know what I mean? But you did all of these things. And what happens is that we try to construct all this stuff so that we can have access to God. When in reality, Hebrews chapter 4 says you can come boldly to the throne. Why? Because of the cross, y'all. We have a relationship with him. I tell my kids all the time, they have this bad habit, Ruth, of running into my room like they lost their mind. I'll just be chilling, scrolling through Instagram, arguing with people in my head on Facebook, and they'll just, boom, run to the, Mom, can I get some milk? Milk? There's a whole refrigerator. I know, but you said we can't get milk and cereal. We had to ask you first. Y'all better stop coming in this. Y'all gonna see something y'all don't want to see. Keep busting through my door. Some of y'all are traumatized. Why do they so? You do that, you going to jail. Run in my room if you want to. You might get a little bit more of a surprise. Why do they do that? It's because they have access. Because of the relationship. Not because of what they've done. Not because of how good they are. But because they're my children. Today, on the other side of the cross, you have access to God. Stop allowing for people to tell you that you have to do 13 different things to be able to get to God. You know how you get to God? You just talk to him. He's there, he's readily, and he's available to you. You don't have to butter him up. You don't have to construct little straw houses. God, look, sing and dance. Oh, look, God, can you listen to me now? He listened to you at the point of salvation. Even before you were saved, deep talk, he was already listening to you. Romans 5 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. In my most broken state, when I was so far from God, it was in that moment that I was able to call out to Jesus. And in that moment of calling out to Jesus, the greatest miracle that I ever received in my life was found, which is called salvation. I didn't earn it. I didn't have it all figured out. I was so far from God. There was drugs in my system. I was an absolute disaster. But God looked down and saw that little black Cuban who had made such a mess of his life and said, I am going to save your life and give you access to a relationship with me. And it had nothing to do with how good I behaved, but everything that happened on the other side of the cross. On the other side of the cross, there's access. But on the other side of the cross, there's authority. Number two, I want you to write that down. There's authority. Now, I want you to understand this because here's where we're going to get a little deeper into the Bible. Here's where we're going to take a little bit of scripture. Early at the very beginning of creation, the Bible says that God created Adam and Eve. And he said, I'm going to give you dominion. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. He says, I'm going to give you dominion. Dominion means authority over every plant, over every person, over every animal. I'm gonna give you dominion over everything, meaning you have authority. The only thing that I don't want you to do is I don't want you to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. At that moment, you will become self-sufficient and you won't trust me, have faith in me, or rely on me. I want you to be mine. And so what they did was that they decided to eat from the tree. At the moment that they ate from the tree, not only was sin introduced into the picture, But there was a separation. Now they lost access. They were actually kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They lost access to a relationship with God because God, there was sin in the midst of them. And so what did God do? Did God create a way for them to stay away? He did the opposite. He created and he spoke at Genesis chapter 3, the beginning of the earth. I'm going to bring a seed that's going to be able to crush the enemy's plan. And that seed is going to be the promise that's going to bring salvation to you. So I'm going to bring you back. Several thousands of years passed and God instituted the law and prophets and different things happened until the point of the birth of Jesus. Jesus comes into the picture and he lives 30 years. At the age of 30, he gets to the point where John chapter 1 verse 27, John is baptizing people and all of a sudden he sees him coming and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the earth." The Bible says that Jesus gets baptized. When he comes up, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So Jesus, at the very moment, he goes into the wilderness, and we know that he was tempted three different times. The first time it was like, hey, turn this rock into bread, because he had been fasting for 40 days. Turn this rock into bread. And then he says to him, hey, why don't you go all the way up to the top of that pinnacle and throw yourself down? The Bible says that God will hold, the angels will hold you so you won't dash your foot on a stone. Just throw yourself off, tempt God. And then lastly, he says, which is what I want to pick up because I want to show you something. Then he says to him, took him up to a high mountain and he said, you see all these kingdoms? He said, all these kingdoms I'll give to you if you just bow down before me. Here's what I want you to see. In the garden, when we sinned against God, in that moment, not only did we lose access, but we lost our authority. Not only did we lose our authority, but we actually handed that authority to the enemy in the garden. Our authority that belonged to us as Christians was given to the devil in that moment. Not only was it given to him, but for those thousands of years, he was walking in that authority, watching as the children of Israel were pushed into places where they sacrificed babies, where they worshiped other gods. I mean, there were so many things that they did, and the enemy was just interweaving doubt, hatred, racism, bigotry, hurt, pain, all these things. He was weaving it into their lives. And then we pick up the story of Jesus having this conversation with the enemy. Luke, at some point I'm going to find it, I promise. Luke chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, it says, and he said to him, I will give you, this is the devil saying it to Jesus, I will give you all authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you worship. I want you to see something and keep it up there. The devil said that all authority has been given to him and he can give it to whoever he wants to. Jesus rebuked him and said, you shall worship only to the Lord your God. Jesus rebuked him, but he didn't refute him. He didn't tell him in that moment, you're a liar. That authority doesn't belong to you. No, in fact, he understood that that actually belonged to him, the authority. I can show it to you a little further. The Bible says that Jesus, after this happens, he's living his life and he's doing miracles and doing all type of things. People were demonly possessed. And Jesus would cast the demons out of those people where they would be set free. At the moment that they were set free, the religious leaders who were around were looking at Jesus and they were saying, yo, you're casting out demons because you have a demon. And so what you're doing is that you're casting out demons by Beelzebub. And we know you. We know your strategy. And Jesus is saying to them, hold on. The reason why you're saying that is because all authority belongs to the devil. He's the only one that could deal with this thing, right? And so you're telling me that I'm using the authority of the devil. And he says two things to them. The first one is, if I'm casting out demons by the authority of the devil, who are you casting out demons by? If that's the only way that you can have authority. Not only did he tell him and flip it, but then he says this to him that I want you to show. I'm a little deep on this 11:15 or 12:07 p.m. on a Sunday morning. But watch this. No one, Mark chapter 3, verse 27. It says, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house. Here's what Jesus was saying. On the other side of the cross, I'm going to take back the authority. If in the garden, The way that they lost authority was that they sinned against God and death was introduced into the picture. There had to be a payment made. Then what Jesus said is that on the other side of the cross, not only am I going to make the payment with my death, but before I ever get there, I'm going to live a life that's sinless. I'm not going to transgress. I'm not going to cross the line. My life is going to be pure. So when I'm able to take back the authority, I could do it legally. Come on. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. Wordy, but peep this. Watch this. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is he who also ascended far above the heavens that it might fill all things. That's for my deep Christians. For you to understand that when Jesus was sitting there and they were looking at him lifeless, powerless, wrapped up in some bloody sheets, like we mentioned on Easter Sunday, you think that that was the full picture. But in reality, he was actually doing the hard work of stripping the death, hell, and the grave from its power and its authority. In that time that Jesus was in the grave, he was actually pillaging hell. And I'll show it to you in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. It says, when I saw him, talking about Jesus, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death and Hades. Jesus is saying in this point that when he died, he went down to hell and he stripped the devil of his authority. Not only did he strip the devil of his authority, but can I read one more scripture? Because this is where it gets fun. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Here's what Jesus did. On the other side of the cross, not only did he create access where now you have a relationship with God, you don't go through man and you don't go through religious acts, but he also took back the authority that belonged to us in the garden and he handed it to you, delegated authority, where now you don't have to be what the enemy plans for you to be. You no longer have to live the life that the enemy has tailor-made for you, but you have the authority to be able to walk into your job and no longer expect for things to go wrong, but you can start to speak to it. You no longer have to keep walking into a broken marriage and just say, this is the way it is, but that you can begin to declare on your knees the mercies of God. My wife will come to Jesus. My son will come. He will no longer be bound by drugs, but I speak in authority. I'm watching as God begins to develop that when you get that report or somebody in your family gets a report, that you can turn to the cross and be able to say, God, you gave me authority to call those things that are not as though they are. And Father, I believe that there is health. I declare that there would be a relief, a healing of cancer. I believe in my life. Hey, bring my volume down. Because the reason why I gave you all of these scriptures, and I'm trying to talk to you in a simple tone, is because I don't want you to think that a pastor's trying to get an emotional response from you. I'm trying to show you what the Bible says. And depending on your religious ideology, doctrine, depending on what you've been grown up in, you tend to look at this stuff and you say, yeah, but that's stuff for old people. That's stuff that doesn't belong to me. You would even find yourself rebuking that. What scripture is saying, that this authority that Jesus has, he's actually given it to you. Now, has he given it to you for you to start your little LLC? For you to start your website? You know what I mean? For you to start doing your worldwide ministry? Cool, you could do that. I don't speak negatively against that. But that's not the reason why you have that. The authority that was given to you, because on the other side of the cross, there's access. On the other side of the cross, there's authority. But on the other side of the cross, this is the part where you're going to check out. And I know you're going to get mad at me. You're going to close your little notebook. Okay, that's it. I'm done. Okay, let's do the baptism, Poppy. That's why I came. I know that. But you got to hear this, because it's my responsibility to be able to tell you this. On the other side of the cross, there's access. Yeah. There's an authority that God put inside of you. But on the other side of the cross, there's an assignment. There's something that God has placed inside of you for you to do. That regardless of your age, of your pedigree, regardless of where you come from, I didn't have no religious denomination. I didn't come from Methodist or Baptist or Pentecostal. I didn't come from any of those things. I came from the streets. I was found in the streets. God met me at my most broken state when I was so filled with drugs. I was so far from God. I didn't have no religious pedigree. I was so jacked up sitting in a prison cell. But God said, that little black Cuban, I'm going to use him. I'm going to give him access to me. I'm going to give him authority. But then I'm going to put him on an assignment. And in 2024, he's going to stand on a stage and he's going to begin to declare the mercy of God. He's going to begin to declare who I am in his life. He's going to begin to show people that they have access to God, that they have authority living inside of them, and that there is an assignment on their life, regardless of who they are, where they came from.
Good.
Let's read the Bible. Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is your assignment. Jesus' final words, his marching orders for the disciples as they were going out. Jesus is about to ascend. He's done with it. He's done his assignment. He's died, he resurrected, and then he empowered them. Now he's created an assignment. Access, authority, assignment. He's given them the assignment. And now his job is done. I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father. Sit, because it's finished. But the Bible says, daily making intercession for you and for me. And he tells the disciples, go therefore. The word go in the Hebrew, in the Greek, in the Cuban, Jamaican, Puerto Rican, in the whatever language you want to use, the word go means go. It's an action word. It's about moving forward. It has nothing to do with you standing there. When God says, go therefore, it's not looking back and saying, but Chino, I can't go because I made this mistake. Chino, I can't go because I said this. Chino, I can't go because I haven't graduated seminary. Chino, I can't go because I haven't done this. Chino, I can't go because I don't know how to preach the way that you preach. I don't know how to yell and then talk smoothly. I don't know how to wear those pants as tight as you do. I don't know how to do any of those things, Chino. I don't have it. Well, neither did I.
Yeah.
But I understood that when he said go, it wasn't about religious requirements. It was a commandment. There is no excuse. There's no way of talking my way out of this. I gotta go. Go where? Go therefore and make disciples. When we hear the word disciples, and God is calling you to make disciples, do you know that this is what the church is about? Because here's the thought. I don't need the church. I don't need to gather with people. I could just do Jesus by myself. You said it, Pastor. You said you don't need a pastor to get to God. I don't need church to get to God. Cool. It's true. The end. But you're waiting for a punchline? You don't. But here's what church looks like. You have a command to go and make disciples. You don't need the church. Do Jesus by yourself. But you got an assignment. Because this wasn't relegated to disciples. This was relegated to individuals, or this was given to individuals who had called on the name of Jesus. And if you called on the name of Jesus and you think you're going to sit at the house by yourself, and I do Christianity on my own, it's my private thing, I'm going to mess you up because there's an assignment. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's for you, buddy. Here's what it looks like. It looks like the fact that I'm going to go, I'm going to find Chris. I see him, I'm going to preach somebody, and I'm going to get him saved. And then I get him saved. And then once I'm finished getting him saved, I got a Kevin wide open. He's over there doing witchcraft and stuff. I'm going to get Kevin. Sorry. I'm going to get Kevin. I'm going to bring Kevin on the journey with me. And then I'm going to grab people. Right? Because the Bible says that once I reach one, go therefore. Meaning, I don't stop at one because I got to go therefore. And so now I got another one that I got to make a disciple of. And I got to deal with you telling you to keep your pants up and your zipper up and stop doing that. And then I got to deal with you. And then you calling me at 3 a.m. because, man, I smoked again. I drank again. I did this again. And I got to, no, come on. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to cut you off because that's not the way that God works. I'm going to show you grace and I'm going to walk with you on the journey because that's what God does. That's what church is supposed to be. That I grab individuals. Now I got 10. Once I get to 10, that's 11. Because I got to find another one. And Nuno back there, he acting crazy. So I need to reach him. See what I'm saying? But then I finish and I get to 20. And then when I get to 20, I got to deal with 21 because Mario crazy as heck. I got to deal with him too. Oh my God. And I'm on the phone with him all day long. Like, dang, Mario, listen, bro. Mario, stop. Listen, stop. Put it down, Mario. Let's talk. But 21, then I got to go to 30 because there's a go therefore that doesn't end. What is church? Church is not a tennis game where you do it on your own. Church is a team sport. It's like basketball, it's like football, where you play a position that I can never play, where I play a position that you can't play. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that some of us are noses, some of us are hands. We're the body of Jesus Christ. The nose can't tell the hand, why can't you smell that? And the hand can never say to the nose, why can't you grab that for me? But together, you bring your 10, I bring my 20, you bring your 5. We don't compare with each other, but we do it together. So when you talk about the church of Jesus Christ, when you talk about trying to do Christianity alone, good luck. If you're doing this thing correctly, then you're going to need some people around you that you can cry on. You're going to need some people around you that you're going to be able to be real with. You're going to need some people to be able to accomplish it. Because Jesus Christ himself, when he started this thing, he didn't go and save the planet by himself. 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, you cuss and you a fisherman? Come on, you come with me. 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He started to gather people up until the point where he actually died. And the Bible says that on the other side of the cross, there was 120 individuals who had been discipled by Jesus. 2024, there's billions of people who had called on the name of Jesus. Because they understood that there was a man who came to create access. That man came to create access, but then he also gave us authority. He gave us the skills that we needed, the things that we needed to produce the assignment. And year after year, decade after decade, today, this church is part of so many thousands of churches that are preaching the gospel. And at the end of this service, as it will be all over the world, individuals who are not just bad people are not just going to become good people. That takes a while. But dead people who are dead in their sins are going to come back to life because of the assignment that God has put over the life of pastors, of leaders, of ministry people, of people just like you that decided to bring somebody on the journey. You might not have it all figured out, but we do this thing together. And so when God gives us on the other side of the cross access to a relationship with him, he then gives himself of himself and he pours it in us and we walk in authority. Ultimately, so that we can live a life of assignment. And we walk into our job and we understand, dog, I'm not here to play games with you. I'll laugh and we'll play bingo. We can have fun, domino. We can do all that stuff. But I'm gonna have a conversation with you. Because God put me here for a reason. Because I wanted to quit this job for so long. I got to the point where I even wrote up the letter. But God won't let me leave because of you. Here's what I want you to tell you. I don't know the Bible and I don't know how to explain all the scriptures and I can't do all that stuff. But what I can tell you was that I was so depressed. I was so filled with anxiety. Man, I was so broken. I had nothing else to turn to. I turned to the legal drugs and then I turned to the illegal drugs. And none of them were able to give me the peace that I received when I invited Jesus into my heart. Now, here's the truth. I'm not projecting myself on you. But if God can rescue me, I know that he can rescue you. Congratulations, you just preached the gospel. Yeah. Here's the gospel that a God, not like us, that we don't deserve, a God that is perfect in nature, would find a broken, messed up individual who doesn't deserve him, but that he would have me in mind, that he would live a sinless life for 33 years, that he would allow for his body to be broken on a cross, marred, the Bible says, beyond recognition, that he would allow for himself to die. That in those 3 days of that gap, that he would receive the power to death, hell, and the grave. That he would defeat the enemy once and for all. And that he would come back to life 3 days later. And that he would not only offer access, but that he would say, here is a brand new life. The gospel is that Jesus did it. Matthew 28, 19. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not baptizing them in the name of Greater Church. Not baptizing them in the name of First Missionary Baptist. Not baptizing them in the First Missionary of Apostle Pentecost in Christ. But baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you see it? What I'm showing you here is that religious leaders, acts, they don't give you access to God. It's Jesus. Authority doesn't come because of your seniority at your job, how much money you have, how much you know, how smart you are. Authority comes through Jesus. The assignment is not about bringing people to be followers on my Instagram, Facebook, MySpace. It's all about bringing people to Jesus. My assignment is clear. All glory to God. I need to bring people to Jesus. My assignment as a pastor is to bring alignment. For some of us in this room, hopefully today, it was a little heady. And there were some areas that you probably got to re-listen because there were some scriptures that you're like, I need to go back in my Bible. That's why at the beginning I told you to take some notes. But you can go back. It's going to be on all the pod streams and all of that stuff. But my assignment, hopefully for some of you in here who have called on the name of Jesus, you're going to walk into work a little different. You're going to walk into your marriage not being ready to give up on it, but understanding that there's power in your prayers. You're going to walk into a doctor's office understanding I'm not going to sit here and just take a report. But not only is there some stuff that's going to come out of my mouth, but I'm going to start changing some stuff because I'm a little different. God has placed something inside of me. Hopefully some of us in here, we're going to walk into a season of our life where you stop talking about writing that book and you're actually going to write it. You're going to stop talking about starting that ministry or helping those young girls or being able to step into a season where you actually watch your scars produce a story and you're going to start using it so that people can come to know Jesus. Hopefully, I can align you to inspire you, not to walk out of here and see you next Sunday, but for you to actually do something on your college campus, for you to start to do something on your job and take your lunch breaks and start taking 30 minutes to open up the book of Matthew with somebody and begin to read, that you will watch as your family now in the middle of night, instead of arguing and going to sleep, you're going to start watching. Some of you guys are going to start grabbing hands. And Father, we just thank you. I don't know what words to say, but Lord, I thank you for this family. I pray that you bless us. Bless this meat. Let's eat and let us have good night dreams. In Jesus' name, amen. And you're going to start to shift the culture, not only of your family, but your assignment. It's bigger than you jumping on a stage and grabbing a microphone like me. Don't compare yourself to this. This is not glamorous. This sucks sometimes. But I can never do what God put inside of you. If I tried, it would break me. That's why I can't compare myself to you. I could only stand around you and empower you, strengthen you, walk alongside of you. But your assignment is your assignment. For some of us, it's not necessarily that before you get to a point of authority and assignment and all the A's, and this is awesome. But you're so far from God. You're living a life that you didn't even want to live. You didn't tailor make this life and say, oh, this is what I want it to be. I want to be addicted to this. And I want to make sure that I go a month without this, but then I go right back to it. You didn't create this life. This life wasn't your game plan. But life has a way of structuring you in such a way that you start to deviate. And I used to go to church with my grandma, Chino, but man, somewhere along the journey, he touched me. Somewhere along the journey, she just was too pretty for me to pass up, and I messed up, and there's no way for God to allow for me to come back. And it feels like you're going, my job, my assignment is your alignment. It's to bring you back to a space that tells you that while we were yet sinner, while we were broken and jacked up, Jesus died for you. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. He wants to take all of your broken messes up. He wants to take all of your crooked spaces, and he wants to make them straight. How? How, Tino? You don't understand how much I've done. I know. But I know how much he's done. Yeah. Let me show you. Two scriptures and we're done. Romans chapter 10 verse 14 says, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? My job is to preach so that you can hear, so that you can believe, so that you can call on Jesus. That's my job. Now here's what happens. Here's the moment that's going to shift the identity in the lives of so many people in this room. Here's the moment where the devil is no longer going to be, he's not going to have the authority over your life, over your anxiety, bringing shame on you, bringing guilt on you, keeping you addicted. Here's where it's going to break in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says that God wants to save you. I can't do that. He can't do that with a beautifully played piano. You can't do that by joining a church, giving money at a church, by reading. You can't do it by any of those things. Only God can save you. And can I tell you that that's the easiest gift that you can ever receive? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For scripture says, whoever believes on me will not be put to shame. Today, for you to get this thing right, for you to align with God, it's not about you. Listen, hear me. You can't stop sinning your way to God. Saying some shocking stuff. You can't straighten your way up to God. I've never taken a shower to get in the shower. This first step, you can't earn this thing. And trust me, I tried. I try to stop doing so many different things to get to a place where God can finally love me and accept me. Can I tell you that he accepted you a long time ago? He accepted you way before you could ever earn it. Today, all he's asking is for you to confess him as Lord and for you to believe in your heart that at that moment, God will give you the strength to stop sinning. God will give you the strength, not just to focus on the negative and stop doing the negative stuff, but he will also give you the strength to start doing the things that God has put in your heart. The assignment, the dreams, the destiny, the purpose that's been in your heart. God actually wants to bring those things to life, but it starts with one step. And this isn't for everybody in the room, but it's for somebody. You're in this place, man, and you've just been far from God for way too long. Today, I believe that his promise is that he will save you. My request is that you would come home, is that you would find yourself on the other side of the cross. Would you do me a favor all over this room, and would you close your eyes and bow your head for just a moment?
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. The mission of Greater Church is to reach and empower all people. We hope that this message met you wherever you find yourself on the journey. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, please head to our website at www.greater.church, where you can read a message from our pastors, partner with us by giving online, and learn more about what is happening in the life of our church. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on